WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
This is the Firefly Funhouse, and I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to The Rack, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers!
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have Prime Gaming set up, well, you can subscribe for free to this channel for 30 days. All you have to do is click the little purple button at the bottom of the screen. And hey, guess what, guys? Gets even better for subs because it's September. That's right. Discounted subs on Twitch. So, you know, if you don't have Prime Gaming and you want to subscribe the regular way, you can do that too. You get a little bit of a discount. Not too shabby. You can also follow and hang out and chat and do all the other fun stuff. If you like, we're happy to have you either way. Or any way we can get you. And if you're in a following mood, you can follow on my channel, twitch.tv/LinceWard, where I intermittently stream when my internet decides it wants to work. Anyway, I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
It is September. Regular Twitch sub is $3.99 for the month of September.
I mean,
and there are discounts if you pay longer. Just pointing that out. Anyway, you can follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lynn's Ward. You can come to WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or twitch.tv/DivinityLive, where you can use your Prime Gaming sub for free to interact with us tonight, because we have a lot to get into this evening.
We do. We have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites, and after being denied my right to scream about it on the internet.
Denied.
We are talking about Payback. You wouldn't let me talk about it.
I denied her right. Okay.
Tried to talk about Monday. What do I get told? Thursday.
Oh, by the way, chat, before we get into anything, before we let her have her rights back, you can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Madden 21, and UFC 4, now available. You can download them, listen to them wherever you want, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, anywhere you get a podcast. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Madden 21, and UFC 4. Thanks to our friends at EA Sports. It's in the game.
Ding! Secret content, guys. It's here. It's live if you guys want to go listen to it. So, all right. We are talking about Payback in the second half of the show. So we're going to jump right into the news brought to our friends over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. And there were a couple really big stories that happened this week where we saw one really big departure and then a second potentially huge departure. We're going to talk about the confirmed one first because nobody really knows what's going on with the second one. And there's a lot of speculation involved with that. It was announced this week that unfortunately Mauro Ranallo and WWE have parted ways. It was amicable. They made the decision to split as Mauro was going home to take care of his ailing mother. And he's not really going to be able to honor the commitments the way that he wants to. So for the time being, WWE and Mauro have gone their separate ways, which is why Wade Barrett has been at TV in place of Mauro. They've replaced Mauro with Wade for the time being.
Well, they used Vic to replace Mauro.
And they had to find somebody else, so they put Wade in.
Yeah, instead of Tom Phillips. Anyway, so unlike last time, where Mauro quit because
in quotations.
Of reasons, this is amicable. Mauro got to do what he loved. He got to become a pro wrestling announcer for World Wrestling Entertainment. He fulfilled that dream for a while. He did it. He's done. He wants to go take care of his family. He wants to work on his charity efforts. He's going to still do his Showtime boxing and some MMA stuff, but he wants to focus on some charity efforts as well. So it's like, all right. And he wanted a lesser schedule, and WWE has done their best to help with that. That's why he was on NXT and only had to work one time a week and maybe twice, one every 2 months or whatever for a week. So it's like they try their best to make it work, and since the pandemic started, he's been at home from his home studio calling NXT, which has helped him, you know, with the less travel schedule. But it hurts them in a way because you could tell at points that the product suffered when you have three different people calling the show from
three different
locations. Because Beth is staying home and calling it from her house. Mauro was calling it from his house. And that's why you had Tom Phillips or Byron Saxton or whoever was in that chair trying to keep the show flowing from Full Sail University. Beth is staying home because of her children, so it makes sense that she's not on the road right now. So yeah, it's a shame to see him go, but Vic Joseph will do great. I thought he did great on TakeOver, and he's done great the last 2 weeks on television, and we've always liked Vic Joseph because he picked us a long time ago to speak about pro wrestling with.
To help get his name out there to get that job. We are responsible for Vic Joseph getting hired by WWE. Not really.
Not really, but...
But he got hired, what, like...
A couple months afterwards.
Yeah, like 6 weeks or 2 months after he did our show. So we like to unofficially take credit for that. You know, we helped him out there. But no. So yeah, Vic Joseph will be wonderful. He's done a great job so far. It's sad to see Mauro go, but I think it's going to be the best for everybody in the long run, just based on past issues and Mauro's sensitivity to certain things. Not to say that that makes him incapable of doing the job, but I think it was not the best environment for him to be in because he has struggled with it. So this hopefully will allow him to kind of end that struggle and move on to bigger and better and happier things.
Indeed.
Because we want him to be happy. We love Mauro. We love him very much, and we want him to be happy.
Mamma mia.
Yes. So the other side of this is people noticed this week that Brock Lesnar disappeared from WWE shop. You cannot find him anywhere. He had, I think, 12 or 15 items last week. This week, they're gone. It's kind of an interesting situation, which is leading to speculation that Brock Lesnar is potentially done with WWE. This is being fueled by the fact that Paul Heyman is now working with Roman Reigns.
Okay. So here's the deal. His merchandise deal ended, I guess, at the end of this month, August 31st. So his deal ended. He has been apparently without a contract with WWE since after WrestleMania. That was his last commitment to the company. Brock Lesnar is a draw for a live crowd. There are no live crowds anywhere in professional wrestling. AEW has, they're going to have 750 people on Saturday at 15% capacity of Daily's Place. That's their goal, anyhow. That is not a reason to bring in Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is not going anywhere if he wants to wrestle. If Brock wants to wrestle, he's going to go to Vince McMahon and say, "Hey, Vince, I would like to compete." Vince McMahon will go, "Well, pal, sounds good to me. Who do you want to fight?" And they'll come up with an idea. He will fight. There's no need to have Brock Lesnar on your payroll right now because you're not going to make the money back.
No.
Because there's no live crowd for him to appear in front of. There's no tickets to sell because they're not a traveling circus.
It should be noted that Brock Lesnar still is in the current WWE Superstars section, so he is more than likely still under contract. They're just not... They have not renewed the merch deal right now because they don't need to.
No, he's not under contract. His contract's done. His last commitment was WrestleMania. But they're not going to move him unless he signs a deal somewhere else. I mean, JoJo is still under the current roster.
Well, we know the reason for that.
Yes, but I'm just pointing it out. So, please, everyone, internet folk, do not ask Brody Lee questions about Brock Lesnar. Don't ask Chris Jericho about Brock Lesnar. Do not ask Tony Khan on a conference call heard live right here at twitch.tv/WHLive about Brock Lesnar, because Tony Khan's not going to comment about Brock Lesnar, so you wasted 3 minutes of our time. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
So here's the thing, and I want to bring this up because a lot of people are like, oh my god, Brock Lesnar should go to AEW. If Brock Lesnar goes to AEW, then AEW is going to become everything everybody hates about WWE. Because they're going to bring in a part-timer that sucks in a lot of resources and a lot of time and a lot of money for, you know, like one or two matches. And if they give him the title, he could pull the same shit where he does, where he disappears with the title for 6 months and he comes back. And frankly, AEW can't afford that right now. Anybody that they bring in needs to be worth their investment. Now, yeah, they could pay Brock Lesnar $2 million to come in one match and do Double or Nothing or All Out or whatever, and he comes in and does that one match. But he's going to win. He's not going to lay down for anybody.
He's not coming in to do the job. I mean, let's be real.
It's going to be, you know, whatever obscene amount of money he wants, because let's all be real, Brock would go if Tony was willing to pay. Brock, at this point in his career, is not doing this for fun. He's doing this for money. He's securing the bag for the rest of his life.
And here's the thing.
Because he's in his 40s.
Yeah. And also, if Vince McMahon heard Brock Lesnar got a deal from Tony Khan, Vince McMahon would match and exceed that deal.
Yeah.
Because Vince McMahon Vince McMahon is a smart businessman at the end of the day. Whether you like him creatively or not at times, Vince McMahon is the smartest man in pro wrestling. He knows how to get things done.
So, I mean, I've just been seeing that and everybody's like, oh my god, he should do it. No, no, you don't want that. Because then AEW is no different from WWE. It's not. Because now it's done the one thing that you guys don't want them to do, which is bring in a part-timer. And technically they already have the part-timer. He hasn't done it yet, but they have the part-timer kind of in Chris Jericho. Because at some point when all the COVID stuff is at an end, or is under control at the very least, and people can go back out to concerts and that kind of thing, Chris Jericho is going to fuck off the first opportunity he gets to go to Fozzy. And then he's going to be gone from the company for however long that takes. So that's something to bear in mind as well. Like, Jericho's doing good right now. He's going strong right now because, you know, there's no concerts, even though he went and played Sturgis.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about that because we've ranted about that before. Let's move on.
So, yeah. So, interesting situation with Brock Lesnar. We'll keep an eye on it. A couple quick notes. Jerry Lawler is going to be on the Broken Skull Sessions this Sunday, so check that out. Jabroni has been officially made a word, and of course the Iron Sheik took credit for it, like he always does.
Yeah, it's official word on dictionary.com.
I'm super excited because Ms. and Mrs., along with the Mandalorian, is coming back.
This fall.
Yeah, this fall. In case you guys didn't hear, the Mandalorian comes back November 1st.
I don't know.
Right around Halloween. I know the Mandalorian's coming back right around Halloween. But yeah, Ms. and Mrs. back in November. Yes! New episodes. Yay! So that's exciting. October 30th. Thank you. I knew it was like right at Halloween. I just knew it wasn't on Halloween. That's the Mandalorian. October 30th, in case anybody's interested. Disney Plus. Ding. Ad. Not an ad. So excited for Ms. and Mrs.
Yeah, very excited. More content for us to discuss. Ding.
Ding. So, all right. And, well, sticking with WWE, because we talked about the announcer shifts with Marlo Ranallo and everything else, Nigel McGuinness is not returning to the full-time NXT. Instead, he is being sent to NXT UK to work there, but interestingly enough, he's going to do it from here in the state.
Yeah, which is something, but it's not really anything, because all the production work is being done out of here anyhow. So he's going to do it remotely, but it's all here anyhow. So the only person who's working over there from the production side in terms of on-air talent would be the play-by-play guy. He's over in the UK, so Nigel's over here. But all the production work is being fed back to the US, I guess. I don't know. It's weird.
It's weird, but congratulations to Nigel. I think he was calling UK before.
Yeah.
He's kind of doing the double duty, so now he doesn't have to do the double duty with the regular NXT and NXT UK. And I'm sure when he's able to go back over to call it live, he will go back over and call it live.
Yeah. Oh, can we talk about how awesome that studio looked?
Duh, yeah.
The NXT UK studio looks pretty sweet.
It's pretty nice.
They turned the BT Sports studio into something really special looking, so can't wait for NXT UK to return to WWE Network in just under two weeks from today.
Very excited. More content, guys! Content is coming! Yay! Because we've all been sitting here for 6 months going stir crazy. So, alright, two more WWE notes. First and foremost, WWE has signed people, some of them to six-month contracts, developmental contracts, I should say, and some of them to longer. I don't know who is who, signed.
No one does.
Nobody does. The Evolved champion, Josh Briggs, Randy Lauren, Kurt Stallion, referee Jake Clemens, and Joe Gacy. So congratulations to all of them on their signings. They will be reporting to the PC soon-ish, if they have not already.
I believe they have. Everyone's already seen Randy Lauren. Though she was one of the girls with Damian Priest the other week.
Ah!
In the hot tub.
Where he stayed in the hot tub.
Yes.
Till the main event. Like you do.
Like you do.
I at least hope he took his pants off and had shorts on underneath.
I like how you added the second part to the thing, because, I mean...
Well, based on what I saw,
I mean,
I don't think he did.
So...
I think he was freewheeling that.
So they had... never mind. Never mind, not going to go down that road. Not going down that road.
So, yeah. Let's do the blame Brents.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
So, I'm not even sure how this happened, but Rey Mysterio.
Torn tricep.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Did he do it in the match on Friday or last Monday?
No, it happened at the pay-per-view. Happened during the pay-per-view match. Tore his tricep. The good news, surgery is not required.
Well, that is good.
And all he has to do is rehab, so it's the 2-month recovery time.
So good for him. I'm glad to hear that. So in the meantime, he's going to be continuing to manage his son while he heals.
Mm-hmm.
And one last final note before we move on to NXT. ROH has announced that it has arrived on streaming as it has established its own streaming network.
Ring of Honor is proud to announce the creation of ROH Best on the Planet, a new digital-first 24/7 linear network that will offer Ring of Honor content 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is ROH Best on the Planet will deliver a non-stop schedule of ROH programming, including brand new and past episodes of Ring of Honor's flagship television series, as well as past on-tour and pay-per-view events featuring ROH stars performing in some of the most memorable matches in wrestling history. ROH Best on the Planet is a 24/7 destination for high-flying stars and hard-hitting action of Ring of Honor wrestling. Additional content will be regularly added to ROH Best on the Planet, allowing fans to experience the best wrestling on the planet anytime they want. ROH Best on the Planet has already debuted on Stir, an ad-supported live streaming service created by ROH parent company Sinclair Broadcasting Group, with additional distribution partners to be announced. ROH Best on the Planet can be found on Stir Channel 357. ROH is working on Stadium on the distribution of ROH Best on the Planet. You can go to watchstadium.com for more information or stir.com.
Ding!
That's reading a press release. You're welcome. Let's get into NXT, shall we?
Let's do it.
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
Can I just complain about the show before we even talk about the show?
Sure.
I mean, that's what they do on the internet. Before you even see the show, we're going to complain about it.
Yeah, but they were so mad. You know they were so mad.
Oh my God, internet. They were raising their pitchforks. Oh my God, how dare they do this thing with the thing with the thing and the place of the stuff. And because, oh my God, I can't believe it. I only read half a spoiler because the full spoiler wasn't out and I don't know what it means, but I don't like it, so I'm raising my pitchfork.
Okay. So the spoiler that he's talking about has to do with the main event of this show. By the way, this was NXT Super Tuesday as it aired due to preemption for hockey, which was not on.
Which was not on because the series ended.
So awkward. They didn't move it back. But interesting to note, NXT will be on Tuesday again next week.
Because of hockey.
Which, honestly, I kind of don't mind NXT on a Tuesday. I kind of am okay with NXT on a Tuesday.
There's a rumor going around. Who knows? Could be a thing. We'll see.
Could be a thing. I mean, you know, it's actually a little bit more convenient that, you know, NXT is on a Tuesday versus a Wednesday. Less things tend to happen on Tuesdays for me. But anyway, so let's get into this show. Let's talk about this show.
Santos Escobar and his group of Raul Mendoza and Joaquin Wild took on Isaiah Swerve Scott Fandango and Tyler Breeze in a trios street fight.
This was fun.
A lot of fun, this match.
They beat each other up with things, and it was enjoyable.
In the end, Isaiah Swerve Scott got the victory over Santos Escobar as he pinned the Cruiserweight Champion.
To become the number one contender, probably, I bet.
I mean, that would, in theory, make sense.
There was quotations with that.
Yeah.
I could hear them.
Mm-hmm.
There's quotations. I'm kind of okay with this if they're going to give Santos a challenge for the Cruiserweight Championship. Because, I mean, he's kind of had it, but he hasn't had it. So if they give him, like, a legitimate challenge for that title, I'm here for that. Like, I'm on board.
We also had involvement from Imperium.
They want their titles back.
Yeah. We have. Go ahead.
I'm a little surprised that they aren't back for UK, but they have enough time, I think, to get them back if they need to, because I think they have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and it's just now September 3rd, so even if they quarantine for 2 weeks, that puts them at the 14th. And I don't think UK comes back till the 24th.
17th, they're back on television.
Okay, so they're back on television on the 17th. So they still have time to send them back if they need to send them back. I mean, I think after tomorrow, they're a little screwed. But they don't necessarily need to have all of Imperium on the show. Technically, actually, I don't know where Walter is. I don't know if he's in UK or if he's back home, if he's on the continent. Does he live in the UK? Does anybody know? Do we have a status on the Walter? Does anybody know?
I don't know.
Anyway, moving on.
So, we had a little interview with a promo video with Miss Tegan Nox.
Brent screamed somewhere.
She was talking about her friendship with Candace and hope that they can become friends. But ever since, you know, the going to Gargano way, Candace isn't the same person Tegan knew. And she doesn't believe in the Gargano way. Which led to Candice LeRae taking on Casey Catanzaro. Quick little match that Candice got the victory on, but what came out of it was she wants to make things right better with Miss Tegan Nox and invite her home to her home for some dinner to talk things out.
Because that's going to go well.
Yeah.
I mean, the match was fine. Like, the match was there. It was what it was, right?
It was there to put over Candice.
But, which, she needed the win, so it's good that she got the win. But I'm curious to see what this dinner holds, because this is going to be interesting.
It's going to be very, very intriguing, as it were. We had Timothy Thatcher take on the colossal Bronson Reed.
I'm going to be completely honest. This was not my most favorite match on this show. It was okay.
It's a clash of styles.
Yeah, to say the least. They did not necessarily have, like, personality-wise, they had okay chemistry, but wrestling style-wise, there was one point where they're in the corner and Bronson's kind of, like, sitting on Thatcher, and I forget exactly who had whose hand, but I remember just Bronson really gently, like, really gently pushing Thatcher's hand down, which is, like, or pushing something down or lowering his hand or something, like, just, it was... it was a very gentle, soft movement in the middle of a wrestling match. And it's like, it just was super casual. And it's like, that didn't look right. That didn't feel right. So I don't want to criticize too much about that because I don't really have a right to. But like, this was not my most favorite match of either man's. Not that I've seen a lot of Bronson Reed, but we've seen Thatcher just go in there. And what we generally have come to expect is that he's just going to flat out murder somebody. So this was just, it was just okay.
You had Austin Theory getting involved as well.
For revenge for the punch.
Mm-hmm. So backstage, Rhea Ripley was in a talking mood and she challenged Mercedes Martinez to a steel cage match.
I need Rhea Ripley not to show up looking like that. My ovaries can't take that.
And when did you know it? Mercedes accepted the challenge to a steel cage match next week on NXT.
Okay. I mean, okay.
All right, chat, I have a question for you. Do you like NXT where they do some gimmick matches and have exciting matches? Or do you like NXT when it's 3-minute squash matches and a 5 to 7 minute main event? Let me know.
But really?
What?
Really?
What? I'm allowed to talk about the things that are on my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Am I not? Are you going to deny me my opportunity to talk about subjects?
I'm not denying you your opportunity, but you're taking a shot. It's not discussion. You are taking a shot.
I'm not taking a shot. I'm just asking a question. I am polling the audience.
I wish I had a camera right now because I'm looking at my computer like you would staring into the camera at the office.
Just asking a question. That is all. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Speaking of not 5 to 7 minute main events, we had a 60-minute Iron Man match for the vacant NXT Championship. Johnny Gargano, Finn Balor, Tommaso Ciampa, and Adam Cole, bye-bye, battling it out.
I don't know what to say about this match other than it was wonderful. It was fantastic. It was beautiful. They went for 60 minutes. God love them because none of them, I think, were trained for it. I think they did a really wonderful job with the pacing in this match, a really good job of going back and forth in this match, you know, in terms of featuring each other and letting each other rest so that way you could come back in and continue to work. I loved how Johnny noped this at the very beginning. That was a really nice touch. Where they're all four in the ring and Johnny's looking at the other three and he's like, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm going to go stand out here for a while. Y'all fight. Like, that was a nice little touch at the beginning. And just, yeah, I mean, I really, really thoroughly enjoyed this. This was a really close Iron Man match. We did not have a lot. We had a lot of near falls, but we didn't have a lot of falls. At one point, all four were tied up one at one apiece.
And then they were stopping Ciampa from getting a second pinfall.
And then they were stopping Tommaso, which was hilarious. Because they're like, no, 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 not you. Not you. We don't want you.
So Finn would eventually hit the coup de grace on Ciampa, got the fall, thinks he's won the championship. Then Adam Cole ran in, hit the last shot, Shining Wizard, for the 1, 2, 3.
As the buzzer sounds.
As the buzzer sounded. It looked a little fishy as the one stayed up there a little too long. It looked like he had home field advantage on that one. Sports fans would get that reference. So we have a tie. Adam Cole and Finn Balor. So what do you got to do? You got to go sudden death next week. One-on-one. One fall to a finish for the NXT Championship on NXT Super Tuesday 2.
So honestly, I'm not mad that they did it like this. I'm actually really, really happy.
What? No pitchforks?
No pitchforks. At least not from me. And I suspect not from you. No. I think there were people out on the internet that were mad about this. I didn't really see a lot of people complaining about this because this match was just so good. It was just so perfectly done, which you would expect from these four. Like, this should have been nothing less than just beautiful, which it was. So
here's the thing. The pitchfork was being raised because they heard it was a tie.
Yeah. And everybody was like freaking out because it was going to be a tie. And it's like, but here's the thing. Now you get the one-on-one match, which is a dream match, which we've had before, but it's still a dream match of Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT title, where anything could happen, right? Because it's sudden death. It's one fall. That's it. You're done. And then whoever wins is the champion.
So,
period.
They had 4 days to think of something. Not even. 2. Because they knew he got hurt on Saturday and he went out for the MRI on Monday. So they knew once the MRI came back on Monday what they had to do. And they had 2 days to come up with an idea of how to book 4 hours of television and to get crowned a new champion. And the fact that they gave them 60 minutes in an Iron Man match, and then now going to capitalize on it by giving them now a singles match next week to determine who the champion is. I mean, they think they did a really good job. So now, next week, when they tape television, we'll find out who the champion is. And then people will probably raise their pitchforks when the spoiler comes out of who won, and you go from there. You shouldn't complain. Enjoy wrestling. Stop with the pitchforks.
Yeah, and everybody was like, oh my god, they're going to end it in a tie. It's going to be terrible. It's going to suck. It's going to awful. And I'll admit, like, I wasn't like that, but it was like, oh, they're going to end it in a tie? Why are they going to end it in a tie? And it's like, now it makes sense why they did it, because they can get one more, at least one more week out of this. I haven't heard if this is no DQ or not. It probably should be, because, you know, interference and everything, people. But, you know, it's like, it makes complete sense why they did this, because now you can feature Adam Cole and Finn Balor for the title next week on TV, and there's your main event. So it books itself out. And honestly, again, with the way that they did the match, the way that they wrestled it, the way that they told the story in it, I have no qualms with how this went. I'm completely fine and happy and satisfied and very, very, very excited for next week to see the title match and see who's going to win the title. Because it's like, is Finn Balor going to get it back? Or is Adam Cole going to get it back? I mean, honestly, after such a long absence, I wouldn't mind seeing Finn Balor. Just saying. And have Adam Cole chase for a while. But that's just me. But I think there are going to be many outside factors in this match. But yeah, this was good. This was really good. I liked this show. And I liked that the entire show was essentially built around the Iron Man match, like it should have been. That they made that match important. They made it a big deal. It counted for something. And everything else, you had like little moments throughout the show, but your main focus was the Iron Man match. That's why you were here. Also, I'm going to need Wade Barrett and William Regal to interact together at some point. Just need that to happen. If somebody within the sound of my voice could make that happen, I would appreciate it. Because Wade Barrett, ladies and gentlemen, is sticking around. Yay!
Hopefully.
So, any final thoughts on the match?
No, I thought everything was good.
All right. So I say we take our first and only break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to do Tweet of the Week and Payback. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
There is no one better at covering AIDS. Then CB Radio Not So Live. Join Sorokin, the intern and lone jobber, as they go all elite. With their breakdowns of every AEW pay-per-view event. CB Radio Not So Live, available after every AEW pay-per-view. At wildtalkradio.com and cbradiolive.com.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night
event.
CB Radio, Saturday night, midnight ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
to the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
It is time to get into the game. Available now, The Rack Extra Reviews. The latest releases from EA Sports. Check out our reviews from both UFC 4 and Madden 21. What did we think? Should you buy it? Download our reviews now at RackRadioShow.com.
EA Sports. It's in the game.
Did you know you can use support the creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's our ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop.
WWE Superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available and you'd like to use it for free here, well, you just click that little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for 30 days for free, but that's not where the deals end, guys, because it's September. You know what that means? For 1 month sub, you can subscribe for just $3.99. You save 30%. 30%! That's a huge deal! Well, it is a huge deal. So, if you'd like to subscribe for 30% off, just click the little purple button as well. And this runs all through the month of September up until the 30th. So, you know, go check it out. What did I say? Did I not say $3.99? I thought I said
$3.99.
$3.99. It's a fountain refill. You have to pay $3.99 for a fountain refill? Where do you have
to
pay $3.99?
Movies?
Where do you... What?
The movies, maybe? I don't know.
Where do you have to pay for a fountain refill that's $3.99?
Portland.
Y'all are weird. Oh, movies. Oh, yeah, that makes sense. Well... No, because at our movies, you get them for free. At least you used to. It's been a long time since I've been in a movie theater, but... And by a long time, I mean, like, December. So, and I didn't get a drink then. So, anyway, so yes, subscribe, follow, do whatever you like for the channel. Purple button down at the bottom of the screen. And if you're in a following mood, follow my channel, twitch.tv/LynnsWard. So now, guys, we are going to do Tweet of the Week.
To be the kind of person spending time on my space, okay. Until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. I until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So, all right. Caleb tweets Miz and says, if you could build a crew of WWE people for an episode of Cannonball, who would it be? And Miz goes, tough one. Let's go. Maurice Bazanin, Vince McMahon, Braun Strowman, John Morrison, Sasha Banks, Bayley, Otis, Kofi, Big E, Xavier Woods, Alexa Bliss, Bray Wyatt, and The Rock. Braun Strowman responds, I'll go down the big slide for sure. Bray Wyatt, I call commentary. Book this shit. Book it! I'm here for this. And in Bray Wyatt's constant struggle being a Raiders fan, because bless him, Field Yates tweets, the Raiders have placed wide receiver Tyrell Williams on IR, ending his season. Mitchell Renz, I guess, tweets out, bad news for Tyrell Williams. Raiders already paid him $11 million for this season. However, cutting Williams next season will save them $11.5 million. I don't believe we will ever see Tyrell Williams playing in a Raiders jersey again. Bray Wyatt responds with, ugh.
At least they get to play in the new stadium this year. Facts.
Back. So Roman Reigns tweets out, the only reason, basically somebody like tweeted Roman about being forced down everybody's throats because of what happened at Payback. Like, he's been back literally less than a week, and somebody tweeted that he's already being forced down our throats, which, classy guys, really classy.
It's what the internet does.
Roman goes, only reason I'm down your throat is because you keep your mouth open. I'm the best performer of this generation, period, and the title is finally right in the right hands for it to hold true value. Which, sir, I take offense to that, because it wasn't hands that could, you know, give it value, but we're going to get into that later. Anyway, Ed Myers tweets, you're one of my favorites, Roman. I'm glad, I don't think that's English, Bray Wyatt's Fiend is no longer the champ. The Fiend is stupid, and I felt he was being forced down my throat. Bray Wyatt responds, hee-hee, P.S. I always say it sucks.
Okay.
Bray, behave yourself, child. Anyway, that's all I have.
Asuka, would you choose a double burger or a double champion? I choose both. Because both
is good.
Because I'm greedy.
I'm not seeing any problem with this whatsoever.
Jessica Levins, I've been nonstop watching Fall Guys. Last night I fell asleep super early, exhausted, watching Valkyrie streaming. What a cute yet super competitive game. Haha. Dr. Lupo, it's not cute. It's fucking serious. Angry emojis. Valkyrie, let's get a group of 10 so I can continue to practice being a psychopathic murdering liar. Dr. Lupo, she was talking about Fall Guys, but you're over here drooling for blood and Among Us, aren't you? Valkyrie. Okay, I can explain. I was up till like 5 a.m. playing Among Us, and I'm pretty much just woke up and the days are blurring and short-term memory is kicking in and I can hardly read. She is very bloodthirsty in that game.
She is.
Renee Paquette. Do people still order baked potatoes at restaurants or Wendy's? I think we as a society have forgotten the greatness of a baked potato. Wendy's. People are definitely still ordering them, but yeah, overall people are sleeping on a baked potato.
Okay, but it has to be like a good baked potato. I mean, Wendy's makes an okay baked potato. Like, if you need one in a pinch, like you need a quickie, you go to Wendy's. If you want like a really good baked potato, you go to like a steak place. Because they put all the seasoning and stuff on it. Oh. But yeah, baked potatoes, especially when they're cooked perfectly, yes. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. All about it. It's an orgasm in tinfoil. Anyway, go on.
Oh, let's see. Trevor May. Go Twins. Life achievements. Played Fortnite with Ninja. Married the life of my life. Pitched in the major leagues. This. It happened, baby. It really happened. He got a crown in Fall Guys.
Oh, yay! Good for him.
This happened a while ago, but yeah. Because we had a lot of tweets last week, but yeah. Aaron Solo, ask me something. Renee, do you think I could beat It's Bailey in the underground? He goes, if you can hit that super kick, then yes. For those who don't know, Renee has the best super kick in all of pro wrestling.
It is pretty sweet.
Renee, honestly, I feel relieved that the world can finally know. It's been a burden to carry the secret. My super kick is smooth as hell. Shawn Michaels worthy. Renee, I would like to discuss the athletics of Michael Cole hurtling over the barricade. Time to dust off that singlet, bud. No. Please, for the love of God, no.
Cole. Please don't. Please don't. We don't need that in our lives. We're fine. It's all fine.
Austin Creed. Apparently you cannot dive and grab the crown, or you'll bounce off of it, and then put a hole through your bathroom door.
That is such a weird glitch. Like, I don't even know how that happened.
I don't know. And finally, Milton T. Pike 1. Hey, we'll be starting the stream as soon as Marvel Avengers installs a 60GB surprise release day patch on my 14,000 terabyte external hard drive. So stay tuned. Starting streaming at approximately 6 AM on Tuesday, November 14th, 2036. He loads all his games on external hard drives. It's why he was bad at Tarkov. He's ordering he's getting a new computer.
Good for him. But can he put it together with his tiny hands?
He has tiny hands.
He has very tiny hands.
Tweetly.
Alrighty. Now, guys, let's get into payback.
Hold on. I'm being told something in my ear from the producer. We've run out of time.
You are the producer. How can you tell yourself something in your ear?
We've run out of time. We do not have time to talk about payback. Good night, everybody.
Just get back here. get back here. Alright. So, Payback, which feels like it was forever ago, was this past Sunday on the WWE Network. And before we kind of get into the show and talk about this show, WWE, please, and you're going to do it again, I know you are, but please, I understand you have dates. I understand that, you know, commitments and everything, but can you not schedule a pay-per-view 1 week after SummerSlam? Can you just not do that? Because I felt really bad because honestly, truthfully, I had no investment in the show. None. Zero. Nothing. Just whatever. And I'm serious about that. And it's like, a week is just not enough time with essentially two shows to build up a pay-per-view. It's just not. Like, obviously, I understand what the plan would have been, which was that it would have been for Evolution 2, and they would have been building up the women's pay-per-view side-by-side with SummerSlam, and that's how that would have gone. Except here's the problem. Charlotte Flair is out, Becky Lynch is out, and they can't, I think, get enough of the other female talent to backfill and really make that show, and I'm going to say this, headline-worthy, because the two top stars are gone. So they opted not to do Evolution 2, but they still had the date, and they didn't move the date. Like, that's the thing. They didn't move the date, so they went ahead with Payback like a week after SummerSlam. And it's like, can you just, they could have moved it back a week. They could have done it this weekend if they really wanted to. I understand it's Labor Day.
And All Out is happening this weekend.
But they could have done it. They could have done it next weekend if they wanted to. Because there's not a pay-per-view till like, what, the end of September?
Yeah.
So they had time to move it.
Which, as we learned on this show, was either September 20th or September 27th. They showed you two dates.
Dang. I mean, I understand why. Like, I get their logic. I just, please don't do that to me again, because honestly, and it's not a reflection of the show. I just didn't care about the show because it was like we were just coming out of SummerSlam. And I hate to say this, but they kind of did some of the predictable things that you knew was going to happen, because it's basically all it's going to be is a return from SummerSlam because they have a week. And it also impacted some of the finishes on SummerSlam because, again, a week. That's all they had. A week. So, do you have any general thoughts, opinions before we get into it?
No, I think you covered it.
Okay.
Let's get into this Payback show that happened live on the WWE Network. It started on the pre-show with the Riot Squad taking on, sheds tear, Iconics.
They broke up the Iconics. I'm so pissed. This is okay. This is fine.
Yeah, it was a fine match. I enjoyed it. I thought, the story of this matchup basically was the Liv was still having some trust issues with Ruby, as the Iconics were getting in her head. And the fact that she was able to overcome those issues and fight it off, it was like, oh, good. She got back into the match, and she was able to get the victory, helping her team get the victory. So it's like they were finally back on the same page. They had matching outfits. Everything was copacetic. Awesome. Flyers are still alive. Watching hockey. Sports. So, yeah, it was enjoyable. Sad this was the last time they were going to be on pay-per-view with the Iconics, because it's The Iconics. It was a scary moment with Peyton Royce. Good, glad to know she was okay, because it looked like she really banged up her shoulder, but she seemed okay on Monday, so that was good.
Yeah.
That was good to know. All right, let's get into the main show. Apollo Crews made it to the main show this time, everyone.
Woo!
United States Championship is on the line. It's Apollo Crews defended against Bobby Lashley of the Hurt Business. Three syllables.
This was good. This was, I feel like, better than Apollo Crews and MVP. As this was the Hurt Business's second bid to get their hands on the U.S. title or get it back, because MVP tried last week and failed. And so now Bobby Lashley is making his bid to be the U.S. champion. And they had a good back and forth. I feel like there was a little just, and I'm going to say offness, or just felt a little...
It was okay. It just wasn't a great match.
Yeah, it wasn't like a knockdown, drag-out brawl, because, again, it's kind of a clash of styles a little bit, where Apollo can brawl, but he's not all brawling. He's more wrestling and high-flying, and Bobby is much more brawling. So it kind of worked, but kind of didn't work. Chemistry was a little off. It felt a little off. But in the end, I think 14 years or something to the day that Bobby Lashley won his first U.S. title, he won on Sunday, and hey. He's now the U.S. champion.
Hey, solid match.
Very solid match. Very enjoyable.
Then Apollo Crews went attacking the men, and you know, feud must continue, as we saw on Monday Night Raw.
They must keep going.
They must keep going. Up next, Big E, Sheamus.
I like that they're pushing Big E as a single star.
It's a good thing they're pushing him as a single star.
However, while still being in New Day.
However, I would like to see him a little bit more on the offensive side of things, because Sheamus
whooped up on him.
Sheamus was on the offensive for a good majority of this match, and it felt like in this match and the next match, the heel just dominated and allowed the babyface to get that quick comeback, get a win. It's missing something.
So I'm also going to make the comment that if you're going to have barroom pub Sheamus, which is, I guess, what he's doing, because he's running around in the pub crawl outfit from when he fought Jeff Hardy every time except this match, I feel like he needs to commit to that. If that's what he's going to do.
Well, that's his backstage attire.
But he can just pop the wife beater off and pop the suspenders down and he can fight.
Maybe that's too uncomfortable for him to fight in?
I don't know, but it's like, if you're going to go 19 teens, Peaky Blinders, pub crawl Sheamus, and you're going to commit to it. That's all I'm saying. Like, he can come out there and a wife beater in the pants. He can just beat somebody up. I have no problem with that. I think everybody would be fine with it. But that was my only, like, real issue. Because then he comes out, because he's, like, doing that whole thing. And then he comes out in his normal gear with the cross and the music and everything. And it's like, but there's a hat. And it's not here. I feel cheated.
You just like the look.
I love the look. I think it's a good look for him. I think it stands out for him. Not that he doesn't stand out, because he's a 6'4" pasty ginger, but I just feel like it helps him to stand out. It's something different for him. He is not generic Irish guy beat. He stands out like he's actually doing a character. He's trying something. And I want to see more about it, because I'm curious about it. It's like Big E. After years of kind of being in the New Day and kind of being in the background for Xavier and Kofi, they're now bringing Big E to the forefront while keeping him in New Day, and they're pushing him, and they're potentially pushing him towards the world title, or one of the world titles.
He is challenged. He is in a four-way match this Friday on SmackDown to get a number one contender shot, to get a title shot at the champion.
So, I mean, I'm really happy about this, and this was a good match. This was a very solid showing for both men, but like you said, Big E was on the defensive a lot. So maybe he gets more offensive?
Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe. It was just the way they booked this match, and they booked the next match, which is Corbin and Riddle. Before the match, we had Riddle's home life brought up, because they read a tweet that Corbin put out.
As you want to do.
As he's a failure. He's proven to be a failure at home. Yep, they went there.
God bless Baron Corbin for touching the insensitive.
So they had a match, and Corbin was on offense a lot. Riddle would get some in, but it was more Corbin. But Riddle came back with the bro to sleep and the floating bro and got his win. I don't know. It was just okay. Both these matches, they were just there.
They were just okay. Like, they weren't terribly memorable. And I don't think they were really meant to be terribly memorable. Like, that's... I feel like this entire show was really booked to make the main event shine. Because everything else was just kind of there. It was just okay. And also, they had a week to put it together, right? So you have people that are wrestling each other who haven't necessarily wrestled for the first time, but in some cases they are, but they've wrestled each other in tags. Like Sheamus and Big E have probably wrestled each other a lot, but it's generally in tags. It's not generally one-on-one.
And Corbin,
there's lots of other distractions around to help lift the matchup. That wasn't there this time.
And Corbin Reynolds never really fought. Problem is, and here's the thing, and here's where them not touring is hurts, is they don't have a chance to work out some of the kinks.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, let me rephrase that, because they do work out a lot of their kinks on this show.
Yeah,
we've seen that many times. They work out their actual kinks. But I'm talking about in the ring where, you know what I mean.
They can't test things, too. Like, if you ever go to a house show and you watch WWE in a non-taped environment, their talent tends to, and they tend to test gimmicks, finish, you know, moves, wrestling styles, all that kind of stuff on the crowds at house shows to see if it works or it doesn't work. And that's how they gauge. They also test new talent at house shows. They'll bring them up and they'll have them on the house show circuit before they ever hit TV, so they can tweak and adjust as they need to based on the reactions that they get. So when that person hits TV, they have a better chance of succeeding. And I think that's, like you said, that is one of the problems with WWE right now, is they can't test against a live audience. And so it's just really tricky for them. So
in a move that doesn't allow anyone to get over, whether you're testing or not, as Riddle was being interviewed, he got attacked by Corbin. So the heat went back to Corbin. So no one gained any advantage.
I really want to be interested in Baron Corbin, but I just really can't be interested in Baron Corbin. Like, there's just something there where it's like he's doing everything right. Like, that's the stupid thing about Corbin, right? It's like he's doing everything right, but there's just this little hurdle with him that you just can't get past. And Corbin has improved, like, leaps and bounds since he came up on the main roster. Like, he's learned so much since he came up from NXT, and he's done so much to get better. So it's like, I hate to say that, but it's just like, I really want to care about Baron Corbin, and I really want to either love or hate Baron Corbin, because I think he's an interesting talent. He's a unique looking talent, and he has every skill there, right? Like, he has every ability there. He's not the best wrestler, but he has a physical presence, and he can get heat. He can get people to boo him. That's talent.
Mm-hmm.
It's there, but it's like, God, and I just don't know if it's like they've just pulled the rug out from under him so many times that you just don't care anymore. If it's just the King thing that he's doing has gone stale, if it never really got off the ground. I think it's a combination therein of all three of those, that it's like you just see Baron Corbin and you're like, okay.
He's a guy who gets booked 50-50 and doesn't grow.
Yeah, it's like I think the most interesting thing they did with Baron Corbin recently was put him with Lacey Evans. Like, that was actually really, really good.
You say that's recently. That's over a year ago.
Yeah, that's how long it's been. And then it's like they had him and her in a tag lumberjack situation, and like they kind of forgot about that. And there wasn't that continuity there, which is like, oh, that's disappointing. So it's like, I want them to do something with Baron Corbin. I really do. Because it's like, it's there, right? It's all there. If you watch him on the suites, on Twitch, on his Instagram, you can see it. It's there. The dude is an asshole in the best way possible.
Sometimes being an asshole doesn't translate into a good in-ring performer.
Well, yeah, that's very true. But I feel like, and I don't know if it's him, or it's the way that they're writing him. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if you watch him when he streams on Twitch, if you look at him on Instagram, if you look at the way he is on Twitter, you see that really quick wit that he has. It's right there. It's like, why isn't that on TV? Why isn't when I'm... It's like Roman. Roman had that same goddamn problem. Where it's like, you'd see Roman in interviews, right? And he's relaxed, and he's charming, and he's smiling, and he's telling jokes. And it's like, wow, I really like this guy. This is a cool, chill guy. Where the crap is that on TV? Why don't I see that every week on TV? Where is that natural, real personality? Why is that not coming out? And I think they figured out that it was the way that he was being written and the way that he was doing the character, that it's like he was trying to put on a character that didn't quite fit his personality. And when they made that adjustment where it fit better with his personality, it started to click. And then unfortunately he went out and got sick and had to be out for a while. And then he came back, but he was gaining ground when he came back because they made adjustments to him. And also he'd had a nice long rest and that had helped too. But like, I just feel like with Corbin, there's just something there that just, I want to like him, but I can't like him because I just can't go there with him. Sorry, that was a really long tangent, but I have issues with Baron Corbin and the way that they just do him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because he could be a really good, especially given his personality, like really good second tier heel that you could keep like right there at the edge of the main event when you need him. Like he could almost take the Kane role.
Which he sort of is in.
Which he's in, but they're not doing it right. Like it's not being, at least to me, not written properly, or it's not being portrayed properly, or there's just... He's kind of like Kane was at the end of his career, where... And I shouldn't say the end of his career, because I think he's not technically
retired.
He's done.
No, there's... Okay, here's the problem. There's nothing that separates him from the pack. He's just in the middle of a pack character.
But he has a tiara, and a cape, and a staff.
Yeah, I understand this.
And he's 6'8".
But his booking doesn't separate him from Sheamus.
No, it doesn't.
Or now even Braun Strowman.
Like, I feel like there's a huge... And I jokingly said this, but I feel like there's an opportunity because they have multiple Kings of the Ring that you could form a stable with that. And you could do something with that. Or you could have Corbin form a stable. Because he's better when he's with somebody. Or you have him in a tag. Or you do something with him where he's in a group. And you have him leading the group. Because he's the king, right? He's King Baron Corbin. Yay. Wave. Cheers. And you have all the king's men. Because they kind of did that. And it was like, okay, that's actually kind of a really cool concept. I really kind of like that. And then they just dropped it. I'm like, oh, that's sad.
Anyway, tangent over.
Sorry, I just went on a really long rant about Baron Corbin and I don't know why. That tells you exactly how interesting this match was right there.
Up next, Sasha Banks and Bayley took on Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler for the Women's Tag Team Championships.
This was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
This was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
And I really hate saying that.
Yes.
Not because I thought it was better, but because I thought this was going to be bad. Like, I had serious concerns about this just because of style issues. And because it's like, Shayna, Bayley, and Sasha are all fine together. It's when Nia goes into that mix, just because of Nia's style, that you just don't know sometimes how that's going to go. Like, sometimes it's really good, and sometimes it's not. And in this instance, it was good. It turned out all right. And you're like, oh.
Shayna was really good. Bayley and Sasha were really good. Nia played her role. There was a couple of moments with her, but they worked around her. The thing to talk about is Shayna Baszler tying up both Sasha and Bayley.
Kinky.
And getting the win.
Using Sasha's arm to submit Bayley was just...
Perfect.
So pretty. Even though Sasha's like, I didn't tap. Ma'am, you were very clearly tapping.
But she didn't. She wasn't the one who lost it for her team.
Nope.
It was Bayley. So we have new tag team champions. There's a rematch tomorrow. SmackDown.
Which hopefully will be equally as good. I think if they kind of do something the same along the same like setup, it should be okay. But yeah, I'm still not fond of Shayna and Nia as a tag team, but I'm going to try and give it a chance. And also, I like how they're teasing the tension between Bayley and Sasha for the split up, because now Sasha has no title and Bayley only has one title. And well, Sasha's not going to go for Asuka again. So, I wonder where Sasha's going to look for a title. I don't know.
Sasha and Bayley need to stick it out some more. Get to the Rumble. Sasha wins Rumble. Challenges Bayley at WrestleMania, and that's your main event. Because the way they've been building this feud, it deserves to be the main event of WrestleMania. Thank you.
I deserve it, but honestly, I don't want Bayley and Sasha again at WrestleMania.
They've never fought at WrestleMania, though.
But it's always been a combination of the Four Horsewomen at Mania and some variety.
But that may be the first real chance to have a real crowd.
I know, but I'm not sure if I'm crazy about it being Mania. Like, it would be fine if it's Mania, but I'm just not crazy about that idea.
Because Mania's a far ways away.
Yeah.
So
give it time.
We'll see. So there was one objective on Sunday night. Get Keith Lee over.
Yes.
We stripped him of his music. We stripped him of some weird... We gave him some weird jacket thing.
Which I think he since ditched.
He ditched, which is good. But we're making Keith Lee into Keith Lee, WWE Superstar.
2.0.
And Randall Orton's job was to make Keith Lee. He made Keith Lee. Randy Orton went for RKO, ate the spirit bomb, clean win, less than 7 minutes. Your winner, Keith Lee.
I like this. I like this a lot. I thought this was good. This made up for Keith Lee's debut, which we all expected it would, because they just did a really quick little setup. So you got Keith Lee back on the right foot really, really quickly. And yeah, looking forward to the progress. Kind of can't wait. I think they're done, though. Like, they're not going to have Keith Lee go back to Orton.
Not right. Okay, they can. And they will.
Could.
They will.
But just not right now.
Say Randy wins title, your first match, title match is Lee and Orton. Or at some point would be Lee and Orton. Up next, the Mysterios, Rey and Dominik, took on Seth Rollins and his buddy, Murphy. Good match.
A good match in a very long series of good matches. Yay! And the feud continues.
And the feud must can.
It's the feud that will never end. It just goes on and on,
my friend. Some people started it not knowing what it was, and it just went on and on.
But hey, it was good enough to get Dominik a title title shot opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, this was
like he was in the matches to go for the title shot,
yeah,
which was hilarious.
Yeah, it was, but
instead of his father, because Ray got hurt.
Yeah,
but. This was fine.
This should have been the blow-off, but then they had the singles match, but then the match got canceled, and it was fine. Enjoyable. I have no complaints.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's another Mysterio family Monday Night Messiah cult match. Like, it is a one in a series of very, very long matches.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's fine.
So, throughout the night, announcers were given the opportunity to talk to Paul Heyman and asking about his client, Roman Reigns, whether he'll sign this contract. Well, it's time for the main event. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman for the Universal title. The Bray Wyatt makes his entrance. Strowman attacks, and the bell rings.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
I'm just
going to
shut up for the next 10 minutes, so have the floor. I will no longer deny you your opportunity to talk.
Okay, I'm going to try to do this as nicely and as politely as possible because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But, you know, I had concerns going into this match about Bray losing the title because I was 90% sure he was going to lose, especially with the way that they booked it out on SummerSlam, where you have Roman take him out at the end of the match. You could have, at the very least, and I mean the very least, given Bray the Fiend title and had him come out with the Fiend title. I know he has one at home. If you didn't have it there at TV, you could have at very least had him grab the one from home that he has, that we all know he has, because we all know he got a copy of the Savini title and brought that to TV and used that at TV. Would have been perfect, but at the very least, gone into the vault or wherever it is, the other vault with the demonic possessed items, formerly Taker's locker, now Bray's, and taken it out of there, brought it down or had it sent down and give it to Bray. I understand it's not a big deal, right? Like, I'm sure a lot of people were like, oh, okay, he doesn't have the right title. But you could not have telegraphed that Bray was losing that title harder if you had Michael Cole get up and scream it on live television. Like, just that alone was like, oh, shit. That was the oh, shit moment that you knew, at least for me, that Bray was losing because they did not bother to get him the right title. It's like, come on. What are y'all doing? I get it's a week. I get you don't want to spend the money to send it down, but I know Bray has a copy at his house. Or at the very least, there's got to be one from the merch trucks, if the merch trucks are still around, which I don't even know what happened to the WrestleMania merch trucks. I don't know where they went or if they went back up to Stanford or what happened. What happened to all that stuff? I have no idea. But there has to be a copy of it somewhere in Florida that they can use, or at least overnight to Florida. So they can use it. Like, it's one of those really important things that helps keep that mystery because, like I said, the second I saw the blue title on Bray's shoulder, it's like, fuck. Just fuck. That's it. He's losing. I know he's losing.
Correction. Neck. He doesn't wear it on his shoulder. He wears it around his neck.
Whatever. Upper body. On his upper body. He wore it on his upper body. So that's kind of my one main complaint about this match. I liked Braun jumping Bray. I go back and forth on the contract thing. Because it was a clever way to do it. Because you have Roman sign the contract basically after Bray and Braun have murdered each other for like 5 to 10 minutes.
And destroyed the ring.
And destroyed the ring, which that's the other thing that I'm going to rant on in a minute. You have Roman sign the contract, and he comes into the destroyed ring, and that's when he starts fighting the match. It's a good way to keep Roman out of the match, because I don't think Roman's knocked all the rust off yet.
Any? He hasn't been in the ring?
Yeah. So he hasn't been in the ring in 5 months. He's got to knock the rust off, so it's a good way to have him go in, hit like 3 moves, and he's done. It's a good way to protect him. They're basically booking him like they would book Brock, which I'm not opposed to them doing that. What I don't like is technically, because Roman didn't sign the contract, and this is where I'm a stickler for things, he shouldn't be in the match. You shouldn't get to sign the contract while the match is in progress and jump in there.
Okay, but do they always sign contracts? I mean, it's weird.
Like I said, I go back and forth on it.
It's basically a formality of signing the contract, because
it's a formality.
Random matches will just happen without signing contracts.
Because here's the thing, you could have had Roman sign the contract at the top of the show, and then he doesn't come out for the match. It's no holds barred. It's falls count anywhere. So it doesn't matter if he's out there for the start of the match or not. He could have signed it earlier and then just come out later, come out whenever he wanted to, or done what Gargano did on Tuesday, which is nope it, and just be like, you know what? Y'all too. Y'all murder each other. I'm just going to stand here and chill until I'm ready to start the match. That's just me. That's me personally. Like, I don't like it, because it's like basically you have Bray and Braun doing all the work. And again, it's understandable why they're doing all the work. I'm not mad. Let me just say this. I'm not mad about Roman at all. Not mad at Roman at all. Okay? I just want everybody to understand that. This has nothing to do necessarily with Roman himself. It's just how they kind of told the story in this match, where it was just weird to me. It didn't sit right with me. And I would have rather had Roman kind of pull a Brock move, which is Brock's out there, but he's not participating until he's ready to participate.
So, a couple of things. One, this was the first time they made Roman Reigns look actually desperate in a match.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of weird, because he's always been very calm, cool, and collective. Now that he's back, he's became very desperate for the championship. That's one thing. I liked how they did it, because it protected Roman and was a clever use of the stipulation. You want to talk about telegraphing things? They telegraphed something was going to happen to the ring tonight, on that night, because there was no LED post or ring aprons. They telegraphed that one hard.
Yeah.
And poor little Nate, taking the
bump. Is he okay? Did anybody check on him?
He's fine, but he flipped over the ring, and that was funny.
I think, to me, like, the flipping the ring spot is always cool. Like, it's always a neat spot, and they don't do it a lot. Or I should say breaking the ring, not flipping the ring, breaking the ring. But to me, it almost felt just a little insulting. Because it's like, oh my god, you guys, they do not weigh that much to break the ring. Come on.
I mean, Brock and Big Show did it. I mean, Braun is the size of Big Show. And Bray is up there with when Brock was first coming in. I mean,
size, I don't know.
It matches. It matched a little bit.
I guess, but it's just like, come on, they do not weigh that much to break the ring.
He's husky. You've been explaining to me. He's very husky right now.
I mean, Bray did put on the COVID-19, so...
So, you know.
As we all have. So, you know, it's like, okay.
Okay. So them breaking the ring, and then what they never do is have them actually fight on the broken ring, and that's where I can see why, because people can get hurt, and Roman Reigns fell out. At SummerSlam, the meme was Roman Reigns' teeth, and then he flipped, he stumbled backwards and then flipped over the ropes, and then he bloodied his mouth. Oops.
Oops.
So Roman Reigns wins, pins Braun Strowman, kicked the Fiend in the testicles. That's another heel move that desperate Roman tried to do. And won the championship. I mean, Roman winning the championship's not the worst idea. It sucks for Bray.
Yeah. So I'm going to read this tweet real quick.
Okay.
So,
tweet of the week.
Late tweet of the week, but it fits. The Fiend has been hit with toolboxes, mm-hmm. curb stomped 692 times,
mm-hmm.
electrocuted, mm-hmm. and nailed with a Braun suplex that destroyed the ring.
Yes. All facts.
And survived all of them.
Yes.
Among many other countless things. That's not in the tweet, but among many other countless things. Those are just the notable things.
Mm-hmm.
Roman kicks him in the family jewels and takes him down in 4 seconds. Work smarter, not harder, y'all.
Everyone has a weak point in their body. Bray Wyatt, this is a package.
They make protection for that, and I just had to physically stop myself from saying something.
Imagine them making Fiend, like, protection for down there.
You want Fiend condoms?
I wasn't saying condoms. They...
A Fiend cup? You want a Fiend protective cup? You want Bray Wyatt's, like, smiling face on your dick?
Imagine if they did it, though. Imagine.
No! I don't want to imagine Bray Wyatt's face on a protective cup.
Imagine. Imagine it, chat. Imagine it.
The only thing worse would be a Fiend condom where you have the little white face with the smile on the tip and then it's just, like, black and red and striped.
Let me in.
Oh, my God. That takes letting them in on a whole new level that I don't even want to think about.
Let me
and in. I am, and I'm picturing it in my brain, and I hate you right now.
Let me in.
I may need to go get alcohol after this, because holy shit.
Let me in.
Okay, so anyway, going back to the match after we, like, horrified everybody, including ourselves. Because you're a dick. So I have a slight issue with the end of this match.
Okay.
And it's not for Roman winning the title. We all knew the second Roman Reigns set foot in WWE again, we knew exactly where that title was going. It was, again, telegraphing things could not have been made more clear, especially, you know, after they put him in a title match 1 week, or not even 1 week, but like 1 day after being back. So, okay, all right. What I don't like about this is they made The Fiend a transitional champion.
Mm-hmm.
The Fiend, in my opinion, and I know Bray was happy to do it, should not be a transitional champion. If you wanted to do it this way, where you had Roman win the title, which you should have done, is you should have had, especially since you knew, and they knew they were going to Payback a week after SummerSlam, when they booked SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. Like, they knew this. They had all this information. And hindsight is always 20/20. But to me, it would have made more sense to keep the Bray Braun match a non-stip match, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have The Fiend going for the win. He's going for the title. He's going to win for the title. Out of nowhere. Because you never see it coming. Da-dum, 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 dump-dump. Roman costs Bray the title. He costs The Fiend the title. He does the DQ. Which that leads you to the triple threat at Payback, where Braun is still the champion, Bray and Roman are challengers. You can still do everything you did at Payback, including Braun eating the pin and Roman taking the title off of Braun. I feel like that hurts The Fiend a little bit less than what they did, because I feel like they made The Fiend look like a bitch. You had The Fiend beat Braun in a relatively grueling title match the week before. Roman comes out, spears him, leaves him laying for dead in the middle of the ring. This is the epitome of murder, death, fear, your worst nightmares. This is the boogeyman. This is the unstoppable, like, Michael Myers, Jason, Freddy Krueger-esque character. That no matter what you do to him, you can't put him down, right? That's who The Fiend has been built up to be, is just this unstoppable force. Roman puts him down on his ass to end SummerSlam for a good 5 minutes to end SummerSlam. You then have Roman in the match kick Bray in the balls, which puts him down for the remainder of the match, understandably so. It's a very sensitive area, but it puts The Fiend down for the rest of the match, allowing Roman to get the victory and take the title off of Bray. I mean, I appreciate that Bray did not eat the pin, but I still feel like they made The Fiend look like a bitch in this match and in this story. Because now you kind of sit here and you're like, okay, so where do you go from here? Which is a good question to ask, but it's also a confusing question because it's like, so Roman pinned Braun. Braun gets presumably he's going to get a rematch against Roman, but Bray's going to be pissed because Bray lost the title and Bray also gets technically a rematch. So are you going to do another 3-way? Are you going to have Roman feud with both of them? Like, how is this going to work? We're going to get to that, LeMans. We're going to talk about that in a second.
I don't know how it's going to work because by the sounds of it, neither in the title picture right away because they went elsewhere. On Friday, at least, for the first title defense. So we'll see.
We'll see. I don't know. Now, there's another factor in this match.
That she really, 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 really likes.
That I'm really excited about. And that is they picked the Alexa Bliss storyline back up. Where we saw on the Friday before Payback, Alexa Bliss has gotten herself a little dread. Which, honey, no. Don't do that to your hair. Please don't do that to your hair. Braids is fake. That's all fake. I'm just going to put that out there. That those dreads on the top of his head that the Fiend has, fake. 100% fake hair. Well, not all of it fake. Like, the top of his head, I'm pretty sure, is his real hair. But... because they have to attach it somehow. But anyway, most of it is fake. So anyway, and Alexa also got really sensitive when Nikki was like, oh, hey, that looks like the Fiend hair. Are you okay? And she, like, freaks out. So come Sunday, the Fiend's wrestling Braun. They're going back and forth. They're beating each other up. They're murdering each other. And we cut to the backstage. And who's standing there as the Fiend is on TV twirling the dreadlock in her hand? But one little Miss Bliss in her adorable pigtails. All right, there's how I think this is going to go, and there's how I want this to go. I want, so very much in my life, Alexa Bliss stalking the Fiend. I want her to become that creepy stalker fangirl of the Fiend. To the point that she finds her way to the funhouse, and I know everybody's not going to be a fan of this, but she finds her way to the funhouse, and she is slapping funhouse Bray Wyatt in the face, demanding to see the Fiend. I want her to, like, know every movement of the Fiend. I want her to know everything about the Fiend, like, figure him out. And then the Fiend is being really fucking confused. Because he doesn't know what to do with her, because he's done with her, right? Like, she served her purpose to him, which was to get at Braun Strowman, and it worked. Now, the side effect to that is he has a fangirl who's in love with him, and he doesn't know what to do with her. But Funhouse Bray does. Funhouse Bray knows how to manipulate her. He knows how to use her, and he can either use her to his advantage, or he can spurn her, and that can cost him. See, I would personally like to see him use her to his advantage until he doesn't need her anymore, and then he spurns her, and that's what costs him, is a woman scorned, and she's like, oh, fuck you. But we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, the Bliss stuff is really intriguing, and I'm very curious to see how that goes. Starting tomorrow, because I think they're going to start it tomorrow.
Probably.
So, your thoughts?
I really like the Bliss thing. I kind of want to see where it goes. I think you kind of described where it should go. Yeah, that's all I got. I don't have really much to add to it.
I want
to
add also, I don't want them to do, because I'm trying to figure out how this relationship is, I don't necessarily want them to do like a Joker Harley scenario completely, but it's not quite a Phantom scenario. It's weird. It's a very weird pairing.
Right.
And I almost would be down for her kind of manipulating him a little bit. Because as we've seen, Bray tends to be led by a female figure in Sister Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind seeing Alexa Bliss kind of manipulating Bray a little bit because of that. Mm-hmm. Now, what I don't want is I don't want Alexa Bliss to become Sister Abigail.
No.
I don't want that at all.
That'd be terrible booking.
What I want is for her to retain her identity, but she either becomes like that creepy stalker fangirl, or she kind of works her way in with Bray Wyatt, and she kind of controls him, and through controlling Funhouse Bray, she figures out how to control the Fiend.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tie all that together, where eventually Alexa Bliss is quasi-managing the Fiend, and controlling the Fiend, and sending, and she can be that other voice for the Fiend. When Bray Wyatt can't be. Where she, when you see her, similar to what Scarlett does for Karrion, but not quite the same thing. Where you kind of, when you see Alexa come and you're like, oh shit, here we go, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind seeing that either with them. But please don't make her Sister Abigail.
Yeah, don't do that.
Do not want.
Do not want any of that. Cause
no.
That would suck a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that does it for the Payback recap, I think, We covered it pretty much all overall pretty good.
I mean, overall, it was a good pay-per-view. It was just, there was no emotional investment really in the pay-per-view until we got to the main event. And then, like, the whole main event thing was just like, eh. Eh.
So, yeah, I think that's our show.
Sorry, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Hey, guys. Did you know that we have many shows out for you to listen to right now? You know, like the Rack Extra Reviews, Madden 21, and UFC 4. They're available right now. Go listen to them. Download them. Subscribe to the podcast. Direct radio from all podcasting platforms. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's CB Radio. CBRadioLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Enjoy your Sunday. Monday night, it's the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. You will probably have a CB Radio Not So Live on Tuesday. We'll be back next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern. Smile. Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media platforms, and The Rack Radio Show on all your podcasting platforms. At Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, Facebook.com, says Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It is called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangle below the screen, and it's also September. Do the thing. Also, use credit code ROCKINSUCK in the Fortnite item shop when you buy all your Marvel skins. Hashtag ad. Hashtag epic partner.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias and on Twitch at LensWard, LANSWRD. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBGFilmsYouTube.com/MBG1211. So everybody, we are going to take a quick break. So you do the same. You go grab something to drink. You go grab a snack. You go stretch. You go do whatever you need to do. Because we're going to round the squad up. It's challenge night, guys. And we're going to be doing some Fortnite with friends where we're going to run around as superheroes. You don't want to miss it. So till then, you've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will see you later. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.